Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit, was an all-state football, basketball, and baseball player, and has been coaching high school football for 50 years. He's won 365 games and is the winningest coach in Michigan football history. He's led Brother Rice to 7 state championships, and he believes that football is not how many games you win, it's how many lives you touch. His name? Coach Al Fracassa. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Coach Al Fracassa, the legendary Brother Rice High School football coach. Coach, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and dad?
Sure can. I grew up in Detroit, and right in the inner city, about 2 miles away from downtown. My mother and dad both came from the old country, Italy. And my father came here first and got a job in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the coal mines. And then he made a little money, and then he asked, got my mother here. I have my father came here as a coal miner, and they had 2 children while they were in Italy, in the province of Frosinone, which is a small little town in there called Supino, Italy. I've been there. It's really quite a town. My mother came, and my brother Romeo and my brother Guido were born in Italy, and they came with her. And so later on, they came to Detroit, to make a long story short, and my father got a job at Chrysler as a crane operator. And he had other jobs before that. But my brother Angelo came along, and then I came. I was the fourth brother, the fourth son. Alberto is my real name. And so we started right over there in Gratiot and Mount Elliott, and went to school. I didn't really know how to speak English until I went to school, and I was about 5 years old. So I started from scratch, but my family, that's their beginning, and that's my beginning.
You know, with your looks and your name, Alberto, you could have been a Hollywood actor.
I don't know about that.
What'd you learn from your mom, and what'd you learn from your dad?
They were very hardworking people. I respected them dearly. They took care of all of us. I remember right after the Depression how hard they worked, and they never went on welfare. They had a lot of pride. And my mother there for a while had boarders at our first home. I remember that. At least my older brothers told me that. And she worked very hard to try to make ends meet. All I can remember is hard work. We had a coal stove in our house, and I remember my mother. I don't remember her ever being in bed. She was always up, getting the fire going, making some kind of breakfast, but I don't remember her being in bed very much. She was always up doing what she had to do to take care of her family.
You were a terrific athlete in high school, and then you go to MSU. Talk about your experiences at MSU.
I had a great time at MSU. I had an opportunity to go to Notre Dame and the University of Michigan, but Michigan State was my choice. I got a scholarship there, of course, and I came at the right time, I believe. I had to compete with some very famous football players, Tommy Usick, Al Doro, and Earl Morrill, the All-American at Michigan State. And I was part of all that beginning under Biggie Munn. He was with me for 3 years. We were national champions in 52. We had a 28-game winning streak, and I was part of all that. And one day, when I was a junior, they decided to, you know, we're going to the Rose Bowl. And we had only 44 players at that time that were able to travel. And I was really honored to be one of the 44 players to go on that trip. It was probably the highlight of my career in college football.
Did you take a plane or did you take a bus?
We took a plane. I remember my first plane ride. I was a junior, and they took me on a plane trip to Purdue. And Purdue didn't win a football game. And we had a 28-game winning streak in 1953. And so, you know, about the Purdue Spoilermakers. They're really the Boilermakers, but they beat us that day 7-0. And then we went on and played in the Rose Bowl in 1954, in January of 54.
How did you ever get into coaching, Al?
Well, you know, I had some great mentors that I respected. First of all, Mr. Art Carty and Al Sandel, they were my coaches. Mr. Rutherford at Northeastern High School, where I went to school. And then I went to Michigan State, and Biggie Munn was just a tremendous coach, in my opinion. And then I had 1 year with Duffy Doherty, who was unbelievable. They took care of me. They made me realize what football was all about, and they made me feel part of the team. And a lot of the philosophy that I have today is because of Duffy Doherty and Biggie Munn and what they taught me. I remember the quote, "The difference between good and great is a little extra effort." And that was Biggie Munn. That was his model throughout his whole stay at Michigan State. And later on in high school, I used that as one of my models. But I learned a lot. Duffy Doherty was good to me because, heck, he had us babysitting. My wife and I babysat at his home. And his wife, Francie, was always a wonderful woman to us. And I had a great time during my stay at Michigan State.
Did he pay you for that?
He sure did. Maybe he gave me a little extra.
Wasn't that against NCAA rules or something?
I don't think so. Nobody knew anything about it.
We're talking to Coach Al Fracassa, and Coach Rick Forzano, former Lions coach, knows that we're doing this. And he said, Jack, Al Fracassa is the perfect high school football coach. He loves his kids, and he disciplines them. He teaches his kids. And most importantly, he's Italian. I'm Jack Grasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Grasula.
We're talking to Coach Al Fracassa. He's led Brother Rice High School to 7 state championships. Al, how did you ever get to Brother Rice?
Well, I spent 9 years at Shrine of the Little Flower after a couple of years in Rochester as a junior high teacher and coach on the high school level. Shrine, I was there for 9 years, and we had a lot of success there. I had some really good football players at Shrine. And, to mention a few, Paul Seymour, Jimmy Seymour, these men were All-Americans when they went to college. One went to Notre Dame and the other one went to Michigan. And the famous Father Coughlin gave me the job at the Shrine of the Little Flower. And I remember this day when I was in his office, when he gave me the contract to teach at Shrine and to coach. He was a very strong man, you know, very political, and he was heard all over the world in his Sunday talks. I believe it was WJR. I don't know. I don't remember. But it was really a great experience. I had met a wonderful group of boys there in my early years at Shrine. And then I had this opportunity to go to an all-boys school at Brother Rice. And I contemplated whether I wanted to go or not. And I felt like it was, you know, the highest class in playing football, and I liked the challenge of being in an upper class. And so I went to Brother Wright's, and I've been there ever since. I'm going to be starting my 39th year at Brother Rice this fall. And so
you've coached over 1,500 boys, young men. You love these kids. You every one of them that comes up, you remember them. You know what they're doing. You truly love them. How did you ever get that feeling for these kids?
Well, you know, I had a good upbringing. My parents and my brothers, they taught me a lot when I was a young kid. And I can, you know, watch my parents, how they treated people. So I think, you know, the education came from my family. And, you know, there's a lot of young men who are very hard to handle these days. And, you know, you have to have deep faith. And you have to maybe talk to God once in a while to have him help you figure some of these boys out. And I think through the Lord and through my family background, I was able to communicate with my boys all this time. And never, you know, every once in a while it doesn't work, but you know at least you tried, you know. But you can't make everyone happy in this role as a football coach. It's very difficult, especially in today's game. There's a lot of parents that really have illusions of grandeur, I call them. You know, they think that their boy is going to be an All-American and going to be great at this and that. And, you know, they have a hard time facing reality. Sometimes I have to talk to the parents about letting your son go, you know, have him do what he has to do in life and support him as much as you can, and good things would happen. There's difficulty sometimes in coaching, like any job.
You've had close to 300 go to college and play football in college. You've had approximately 15 play in the NFL. But let's just talk about one, Danny Youssef.
Oh, boy, what a story. You know, every once in a while you come across these things when you're coaching. But this one was an unusual one. Danny went to Florida with his parents a couple of years ago. I can't remember when. And he had a terrible accident in these jet skis that they fool around with while they're on the water. And he ran into his father and killed him. And he died in his arms. And I knew about this before he came back from Florida. And I believe everybody on that team that year, they're the ones that did what they had to do to make this kid feel really welcome. And I think if it wasn't for the football team, you know, taking care of him and nurturing him, the guy that came through was Jeff Jenick at Eastern Michigan. We went there for a 7-on-7 passing league. And I asked Jeff, I said, told him about Dan Youssef. And what a tremendous football coach, you know. Other than the winning, and he was at Northwestern. His father even was a coach in Michigan in the high school ranks. And he said, "Coach, you know, I believe in you. The kid is 6'4", 245 pounds. He's got some ability." I said, "You know, I think he can develop." So he believed in me. And his mother, Danny's mother, was watching this day at Eastern Michigan in our 7-on-7. And he went over to her and he says, "Mrs. Youssef, I'm going to give your son a scholarship on the recommendation of Coach Fracassa." And that's how it happened.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's at Eastern now, and he's graduated, and he's happy. He's looking forward to maybe being in with the football team in another year or two. It takes a little time, you know. He's going to have to get bigger, faster, stronger. But the character is there. The will to achieve is there. This young man is probably going to have that on his mind the rest of his life.
You've stated many times that it's not the biggest, it's not the fastest. You talk about attitude, courage. You talk a lot about a kid's heart. Could you share with us why a kid's heart is so important?
I don't know. I think anything in life, if you don't have a heart to do it, I don't think it's you're going to be a success. You can have all the knowledge you want, but if you don't have the will to succeed, just like Coach Lombardi would tell his Green Bay Packers, you know, if you don't have the will to succeed, then I don't think anybody can succeed. There are many times when teams beat other teams who are more talented because of the heart that's involved, Jack. And I believe that's really the true test of what a man is. With a heart, you can do anything that you want to do, but you have to really work at it.
We're talking to Coach Al Fracassa. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Coach Al Fracassa, who's won 360. In your opinion, who are the greatest coaches you've ever seen?
Well, you know, I have a picture of this man in my office, Vince Lombardi. I've read his books, and I've met him personally. And I had the opportunity to coach his grandson. I knew his son when he was with the Panthers, and we had a great association. Vince Lombardi, by far, is an unbelievable man, and he died too early. I remember, I believe it was 1970 when he passed away. It was just great knowing him. He could talk on one subject for about 2 hours. And you keep your interest. Another person is Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno is going to be 81 years old this December. And I had the opportunity to meet him a few times and talk with him. He loves the game of football. He's an intellect, but still he's got a heart. And he loves his kids. And I have a young man that's going to be going to Penn State, Chris Colasanti. He's a linebacker. He's pretty good.
How big is he?
He's 6 foot, 2.5, about 240. And he's a good Italian boy, so he should do well over there. I would like to mention George Pirlis, too, because George Pirlis started in the high school ranks, and Coach Pirlis went with Pittsburgh. He was at Dayton, a college, and went to Michigan State. But he's a man's man. He's a guy that takes care of his coaches, and I heard just about 3 weeks ago that he gave $500,000 to Michigan State as a gift. He's a true Spartan, and he's a friend, and I admire him greatly. Duffy Doherty, I have to mention Duffy because he was very special to me. You know, when he came in to visit his daughter, Dree, who's a doctor here at Crittenden Hospital. He would always call me, and we'd go out to dinner once in a while. But he was always good to me, even when he paid me well when I babysat for him. And then my Bo Schembecker. He's just a tremendous man. Those are the five guys that I have pictures of them in my office. And I know all of them, and I respect them dearly. And I like to be. I use their philosophies. I use some of their ways of handling kids. And I remember Duffy, for instance, before every game, he would shake hands with every player on the team, whether you played or not, and wished everybody luck. A lot of people didn't know Duffy. He was a very, very a comical guy, you know, he'd make you laugh, but he was very sincere and a very humble man when he worked with kids.
When we come back, we'll ask Coach about Bo coming to the dedication of the Brother Rice Football Stadium. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Coach Al Fracassa, who was named the National High School Coach of the Year in 2005. I don't think Brother Rice gave you a raise for that, but you were in the National. Can you share with us, Bo Cummin, to the dedication?
I sure can. It was on September the 15th. Our whole school came out to the football field, and it wasn't quite done. It was almost done, but it was there. And he gave an inspiring talk about football and about me and about family and how proud he was of being there that day on the 15th of September. And even Mariucci was there. George Perilous was supposed to make it, but he had some other thing to do in Pittsburgh. So he could have, he would have come too, you know. But it was a great day. It was a great day, and my whole family was there, my brothers and their wives, and we just had a wonderful time. My family, my own family was there, and it was just a great, great day. And then here, 2 months later, he passed away. It was very sad.
What do you mean you dedicated the football stadium? What does that mean?
In other words, they, there's a football field.
Yes.
Okay. And we put turf on it, field turf. And all these past players, a whole bunch of them, all contributed to this field turf. And they dedicated it to me. And that was really nice. And many of my boys that I coached were there celebrating the great dedication.
You're getting better. You know, the first time we had lunch and I asked you, it took me 5 questions to get out that what they did was name the field after you.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Al, 50 years around football. What does football teach us about life?
It's so similar. It teaches you to bounce back after you fail. In life, we lose our sons, our daughters, our parents, our brothers, sisters. And you know, when you lose a game, you have that same feeling. It's deep. And you have to understand that life goes on and you have to continue living no matter what. And I think this is what football teaches. It teaches that certain something inside of you that will keep you going when things are bad.
What does team mean to Al Fracassa?
Well, we always tell our kids, you know, that the team is much more important than the individual. And we try very, very hard to have our kids understand that. Every once in a while, we'll have a guy that we have to talk to a little bit about, you know, not being an individual. I think that's the coach's, job to try to make this young man the best he can be, not only as a player but as in character as well. And so, you know, by the time the season ends, we think that we've done a decent job. We have our seniors, for instance, talk to the players every day. We have one guy, and he's not prepared. He doesn't know when he's going to talk, and we'll give a talk, and some of these young men do such an outstanding job when they talk to their teammates. It kind of puts lumps in your throat, you know, because they understand. You can't fool these kids these days. They understand. They know what's going on. And so football's a great game. It really is, and I can talk on and on about what it teaches. It's a lesson that, you know, if you played it, you understand it. John Gieselman is here in the studio. He's a typical example of what it takes to be a team player. He had to wait until he was a senior to start. He never gave up. And then he went to Michigan State and did not go on a scholarship. And I'm proud of him because after a couple of years, he earned that scholarship through hard work, and he knew that was going to be the thing that was going to carry him through. And then, you know, he hurt his leg and broke it. And after that, he had to suck it up and continue living.
John now works for WJR in the sales department. So you had two offers to coach at the college level, and Monty Clark offered you a job with the Lions. You turned them down. Why?
I don't know. I think that maybe the big reason was I was established. I was in my 40s, and I really liked what I was doing. I heard about coaches being hired and fired and moved. I have one friend, Dick Mosley, who's been in 17 colleges. I mean, I don't know if I would like that kind of a life. You have to do some moving when you take a chance in going to college, because every coach knows that. But if I was 23, 21, 24, I probably would have done it. But I was a little bit older. I didn't want to uproot my family. They were all in schools, and we were having a wonderful life. And the money was nice, but there were other important things rather than the money.
A couple weeks ago, Billy Donovan turned down $27.5 million for 5 years with Orlando. Was it that kind of money?
Well, I don't think so. Boy, that's a lot. But, you know, the grass on the other side looks greener sometimes, you know, when you are living your life. But it's really not that green once you get there. So those are the things I thought about when I had to make my decisions.
When you first became the head coach, you posted the following statement on the board for the athletes. Quote, "To win in life, to be successful in whatever you believe in, takes a complete commitment. Courage and discipline conquer the fear of failure." Can you talk about that?
Well, it's just the way it sounds, just the way you said it. And if you don't learn that as a teenager, it's going to be very difficult for you to learn that as you get older in life. Sometimes it takes a long time to understand what you quoted. And we'd like to have our kids learn about those things that are important in life a lot earlier, so that when they get out and graduate and go to college and start to do something with their lives, they can then talk to their own kids and their own children about succeeding.
Every year you come up with a new model. You've been doing this since 1974. In 2000, your motto was, "Attitude is everything."
Well, I think that's right. Three words. I used to have a longer models, you know, and my kids couldn't remember them. So I went to three words, one word, and they knew how to remember that. I couldn't even remember them.
Yeah. That's the truest thing you've probably said all night.
But it's the truth. It's a 95% attitude in this world. No matter what you do, people with the proper attitude usually will succeed.
1979. The words were never, never, never. It was the same three words, give up. What's the motto for this coming year?
Well, this coming year is going to be, as you believe, so you become. And I believe it sounds like an Aristotle or Socrates type of a philosophy, but it is true. If you don't believe in something, how are you going to achieve? It's just that simple. Now, our boys for next year, we're playing against Penn Hills, which is out of Pittsburgh, and we're going to be playing against Cincinnati Moeller, which is a national high school team. And then we've got Catholic Central, we've got DeLSalle, and we've got all these other. Our kids are going to learn a lot about what it takes to hang in there, sort of, you know, next year. And they have to believe that they're going to compete with these teams. And I had a meeting with them, and I have a bunch of young men who might not be Division I football players, but they're regular good high school kids who have that good attitude, and they really are hoping that the challenge that they have in front of them is going to help them become better men.
We're talking to Coach Al Fracassa, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Coach Al Fracassa. And he and his wife, Phyllis, his wife of 50 years, raised four children. Tonight's Father's Day. Now, what makes a great dad?
Well, you know, you got to make sure that your kids know that you love their mother. I think that's a very, very important thing. And you want to make sure that they know that you are working for them. And you are in this world to try to make them as happy as you can. Sometimes it's very difficult pleasing everyone. It's like a football team again. You can't please everybody, but you do the best you can, and that's all you can do. You try to be a good example, okay?
I've heard over and over what you just said. The greatest thing a dad can do is to love their mom. Why is that?
Well, because the mother is the center of the family. My mother was, and you know, she has done great things. She's hardly ever gets tired. You know, I remember the early years, how she took care of our two boys and two girls, and she deserves that respect of how she took care of them, and she's the center of our family.
Phyllis is the head coach in the Fracasso home.
She sure is.
She's the head coach. She's the principal. She's everything.
She teaches me how to coach too sometimes, you know.
Okay. How can I inspire my son or daughter in today's world?
Well, you know, when they're in trouble, every child gets in trouble. And you want to stick up for them as much as you can. Sometimes you can't, because you have certain principles that you have to abide by. And it's hard, it's difficult to stand up for some of the things that they've done. But you try, you do the best you can. You try to talk to them. And I think my kids care for me. I think they love me. You know, when I was in the hospital, I've never been in a hospital before. I got a bypass, you know, and they came to visit me. It was really very special that they took care of me. And I felt that, you know, they cared for me when I was trying to provide for them. They're all on their own now. And I am in hopes that they, you know, respect me for what I tried to do. And in my heart, I think that they have.
For a dad out there tonight that's listening, what would you tell him about how does he teach his son to become a man?
Well, he's got to work it out with his wife, you know. His wife has got to help him out. And, you know, we're not in this alone, you know. You get help. And being a good example, I believe, is what helps your kids become men and women. And because if you mess up in your life, they're you know, that's not a very good way of showing them how much you love them. And we're all weak, you know. We all have weaknesses. And I believe that prayer, like I go to church every Sunday, and I try to go as much as I can during the week, especially during football season. I learned things from Vince Lombardi. He went to Mass like every day, and those guys are my idols. And I hope that I'm that kind of a person for my own kids. Being a father is a very difficult job. It's a very difficult job.
What advice would you give to young adults today who are trying to navigate through the teen years? I mean, the landmines out there are so much more than Romeo, Guido,
That's
Alberto,
right.
Jackie had when we were kids. What would you tell them about navigating through those teen years?
Oh, boy. You got to let them go. You know, they have their own ideas. They have their own dreams. And you want to try to help them fulfill their dreams, whether you like it or not. you want to try to support them. If your son is or daughter has got the aptitude to be a famous scientist, but he wants to go into music and something that he really loves, well, you try to support him as much as you can, and try not to tell them all the time about what you would like them to be like. They're going to have to learn, you know, because we're not going to be with them all their lives. They're going to be on their own, and they're going to have to learn on their own.
A couple weeks ago in Fortune magazine, Al, the cover story or article was, "You've raised them, now manage them." This Generation Y, where we've given the kids everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't make them work when they were teenagers. We want them to have everything we didn't have. And because of that, we've hurt them more than we've helped them. Brother Rice, very affluent area. You've had a lot of affluent kids. Talk to parents tonight about tough love and not giving the kids everything.
They have to do that because I have kids like Brian Brennan, for instance, and Pete Mitchell, Dave Urema. Their parents were well-to-do. But I'm sure that, you know, how those kids worked, I'm sure that they must have had to do something on their own. They had to get good grades in school. They had to, the parents had to discipline. They could not do what they wanted to do. My kids got mad at me because in high school I told them they couldn't go to Florida with their friends. And many years passed by, and my daughters in particular thanked me for not allowing them to go to Florida. So, you know, it's tough love, like you say. You got to do things sometimes that will make your son or daughter a better person. And it takes tough love to do it.
Enthusiasm is a trait that you've been blessed with unbelievably. Quickly talk about the value of enthusiasm.
Well, enthusiasm is contagious, okay? If you don't have it, how are you supposed to, you know, teach it? So you got to put your foot on that turf, and you got to tell yourself, do it better than it's ever been done before. Today, not do it today. Every day you got to talk to yourself to keep going.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Go after your dreams. Work hard. There's no free lunches. Do the best you can in everything that you do, even if you make mistakes. Just keep trying and don't ever, ever give up. Don't ever give up. Just keep on working and good things will happen to you. This is what advice I would like to give the fathers today on Father's Day. And I would like to, you know, mention my family's names, you know, Rick, David, and Kathy and Susie. I love you, and I just want to want you to know that. And I know sometimes I was rough on you, but I did it for your own good.
Coach Al Fracassa, you are a true modern-day hero. Thanks for all you've done. Thanks for all you continue to do. Best of luck this coming season.
Thank you very much, Jack, and thanks for having me on this program.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.